The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Good evening and welcome to the Sports Maverick Show with the Oprah of Sports, Ida Moyer. Now, the Sports Mavericks.
Welcome to the Sports Maverick Show. It's Ida Moyer. I want to welcome you back to a great show. And as we count down to Super Bowl 45, I want you to think about the playoffs and who you are looking for being there in Dallas in a beautiful stadium that was built by, of course, you know, the great teams down there. We are looking, of course, at what's surrounding that whole Super Bowl week. And there are some great activities that are going on that a lot of people don't hear a lot about. But I want to tell you that you need to check your calendars and look and see if you can participate in some of those great charity events, particularly because the NFL contributes almost $100 million in nonprofits to nonprofits around the country every single year, and a lot of times that goes unnoticed. And also, there's events that different NFL players will be also, offering for you to attend. So do support those things as you look around and getting ready for that great day in Dallas. Well, today we are going to talk about the NFL diversity rule, and it's called the Rooney Rule. But I think what's important is to know the faces behind that rule. And I have with me as a special guest tonight Mr. John Wooten. Some call him the NFL Godfather, not because he's a great enforcer or anything like that, but because of his years of experience of in the NFL as a coach, as well as in the head office, and also working with players and really pushing the idea of fairness in the NFL. His career has spanned over 50 years as a player, front office executive. He has won NFL and Super Bowl titles. He has also been coached by and played with and worked beside some of the big titans of the NFL game. We'll talk about some about that today. He has been a major instrument and the successful movement for diversity to the NFL. Commissioners, general managers, head coaches all seek his counsel. Yet to the average fan out there in most of these NFL games, he is simply not even in existence. But behind the scenes, John Wooten is actually quietly changing the landscape of the NFL. And I want to welcome John to the show. Welcome to the show, John.
Well, thank you. One correction, John Wooten, I have never coached anything, Little League, Pee Wee, or nothing. I've been in the NFL since 1959 as a player, front office, personnel, several teams, but that is my extent of it. And but I am just very joyous today because this evening, because number one, we have landed this off-season hiring cycle. Of the five head coaching jobs that were available, three of them went to minorities: to Leslie Frazier at Minnesota Vikings, Ron Rivera at the Carolina Panthers, and just yesterday, Hugh Jackson at the Oakland Raiders. And all of these guys are people that we've been in working with over the years, and we're just thrilled.
Absolutely. So that now brings your number now a total of what? Nine? It's eight? Eight coaches
now? Yeah, we lost Singletary.
Singletary's gone. That's right. So we've got eight
coaches. He's now with the Vikings as assistant head coach and linebackers.
Okay. He's still still a part of the organization, but in a different team, a different capacity, but still behind the actual NFL curtain, which is wonderful. Now, John, you know, diversity is always a big question mark in people's minds of how to define that. And I know through a lot of the various different articles that you've been interviewed for, you've clearly said that the Rooney Rule is not an affirmative action rule. Could you explain to our audience out there exactly what is the Rooney Rule?
Well, the Rooney Rule is a resolution that the owners agreed to in 202 as it relates to if and when there is an opening at the head coach's position, that they have to interview at least one minority coach for that position. Now, it has been extended now into the front office. So the general manager position, which is what we consider to be the top position on a team, the general manager or director of football operations, different teams have it by different names, but all of it is covered under the Rooney Rule as it relates to that particular position. So it is now not only on the with head coaches, but also with what we call front office executives. So this came about 2 years ago. This is our third year with that being in the front office, and it has truly worked. It is the reason why it's not affirmative action. Affirmative action pretty much deals along the line that if there are X amount of jobs, then a certain percent has to go to the minorities and so forth. We don't look at it that way. We look at it at that we want, if there are 10 jobs, we want the best 10 people to get those jobs. The reason why the interview process is so important is you cannot say that you've hired the best available people if you have not had a diverse slate. This just goes back to fair and equal opportunity. It's what Dr. King has taught us over the years, that what we want is preparation. Be prepared. Whatever it is that you do, be the best at it. You know, the street sweeper or the front office executive or corporate America executive, school teacher, policeman, whatever you are, be prepared to be be the very best you can be at it. So, therefore, that's why we don't stay close to affirmative action as much as we do equal opportunity.
Okay, so when we talk about equal opportunity, the question comes to mind, and I'm going to be the devil's advocate a little bit here. People say, you asked me as a coach to go and interview. Is that a futile effort, or is it really an opportunity for me? Because I think a lot of people think that on affirmative action, a team would be forced to hire someone. Evidently, you are taking a step back and saying, we don't want you to be forced because we believe that the person should be totally qualified in order to fill the position. So what we want you to do is, in the interviewing process, give us the opportunity. Yes. Is that pretty much what you're saying?
One of the things that you will very seldom, if ever, hear me use the word qualified. And the reason why I don't like that word is that it generally speaks when you're talking about minorities. Certainly, the owner or the head of the corporation or anyone else will not be talking to you if he doesn't feel that you have the ability to do the job. So consequently, I don't like to get into that word qualified because generally, as I said, it generally speaks that you're talking about minorities. We feel here in the National Football League, and let's just talk specifically about it, that there are literally hundreds or so coaches, black and white, that have the ability, if given the opportunity, to be a good coach. Okay? So consequently, when the openings occur, all we want you to do is to select who you feel is that person who can best help your ball club. Now, when we get into the little things that happen is, so often the public has made up their mind who's going to get the job. The best example I know is what happened over at Pittsburgh, 3 years ago, when all of us really thought that either Ken Whisenhunt or Russ Grimm was going to get the job at the Pittsburgh Steelers. And Mr. Rooney had already interviewed two other minorities for the job, including Whisenhunt and Russ Grimm. And he decides that he wants to go and talk to Mike Tomlin at Minnesota just because of the way we had presented Mike in the meetings that we hold every year where we go over with the NFL and the league people there who we think are our top candidates, not only for head coaching jobs, but jobs all the way down the line, directors and this and everything else. So he decides he's going to go talk to Mike Tomlin. He was so thoroughly impressed. Of course, we know what the outcome is. But this is what we're talking about when we talk about the interview process. It works. It literally works.
So now, what I'm going to do is go to our break here for a minute. But we're going to come back. I want to talk to you a little bit, I believe, about the diversity committee of the NFL, which, of course, Mr. Rooney heads. And that decision to pick Mike Tomlin obviously comes from getting to know them on paper, probably even first before they see them physically. I'm going to come back and talk a little bit about that in just a minute. We'll take a break. We'll be back in 3 minutes. This is Ida Moye, and you're listening to the Sports Maverick Show.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
In a landscape dominated by male talk show hosts, the Sports Maverick Show with host Ida Moye, a.k.a. the Oprah of sports, has consistently offered a new dimension to sports since the year 2000. Ida's new five-part CD series entitled Survival Guide for Student Athletes from High School, College to the Pros is a must-have for every parent with an elite athlete. The Sports Maverick Show is where the best gets better on and off the field. Order your survival guide today. Log on to www.pro-readycoach.com. That's PROREADYCOACH.com. Pro-readycoach.com.
Now there's a new destination for video content, VoiceAmerica.tv, just like our radio channels and so much more. Voice America Variety, Health and Wellness, Business, Sports, Green Talk, Power Up Motorsports, and Seventh Wave Network now have their own video channel components. Plus, check out exclusive programming, including movies, music, educational courses, science and history, current events, and short features. High-definition, premier-quality programs available 24/7. VoiceAmerica.tv. If you think you've seen online TV like this before, let us surprise you.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
You are listening to the Sports Maverick Show with Ida Moye. If you would like to join the conversation today, please call now. The number is 1-866-472-5787. That's 1-866-472-5787. Now, back to the Sports Mavericks.
Welcome back to the Sports Maverick Show. This is Ida Moye, and I have with me in my studio John Wooten. He is, of course, the chairman of the Fritz Pauler Alliance Foundation, which is actually the organization that oversees the Rooney Rule. And he is in my studio talking about diversity in the NFL and the progress that has been made. Now, John, I want to bring you back to the mic here. We were talking about the Pittsburgh Steelers' decision to pick Mike Tomlin. And a lot of times people think that those decisions are made just as happenstance. But what you're saying to me is that the organization has an opportunity to put together a list of qualified candidates and to present them at the diversity or the manager's meeting or the owner's meeting, and they have a chance to firsthand see who is qualified, or at least on paper. Tell me a little bit about that.
Okay. The whole program as we see it in terms of diversity and the diversity committee that was created by Commissioner Paul Tagliabue in 2002 that came about, where all of us working together wanted to create a situation so that we could, in fact, know exactly what all of us were trying to accomplish. So consequently, what we were able to do through the NFL and its committee, diversity committee headed by Mr. Dan Rooney, and on that committee is Jeff Lurie, Kraft, and Pat Bowlen, and Arthur Blank. It's an excellent committee, and what it really deals in is the fact that all of us know that there are many young minorities that are in the National Football League that really have the ability to be head coaches. So consequently, since that's what we seem to be talking about, more about head coaches than front office executives. So the whole thing is, Ida, is that by doing it this way, you know, we're able to totally put people in situations where they have the opportunity to, quote, interview, as we say, to express your skills and what you would do and how you would do it, which is exactly the way that our business runs. You know, I mean, if people say, well, you shouldn't take, when you know they're going to hire someone else, you shouldn't take the interview. I look at it this way. Every year, the NFL teams go to training camp, and they'll have 78 to 80 players. Now, everybody knows that only 53 is going to come out of that hat. Only 53 players. It might be a little more this year. So consequently, if only 53 is going to come out, then why are 80 guys going to camp? It's the same thing with the interview system. If you don't take the interview, you're not giving yourself a chance to prove what you can do. You know? So this is how that works.
So a person obviously has to be confident enough to participate in the process in the beginning anyway, and to see this purely as an opportunity. Now, I want to just digress a little bit, because you played for University of Colorado, and you're All-American there, and you were drafted in the fifth round in the Cleveland Browns in 1959. And you were coached by legendary Paul Brown. Now, of course, a lot of people call him, you know, one of the deans of all coaches. And what impact did Paul Brown have on your career as not only just a player, but also your understanding of diversity you know, that was needed, or diversity that, you know, that was being shared there at Cleveland. Because obviously you were with Jim Brown on that same team, and Jim Brown tends to be very outspoken about diversity. So it's clearly something that has given a lot of, leadway that people feel comfortable talking about it. So did Paul Brown have any impact on you?
Well, the real impact that Paul Brown had on me and a lot of us was the fact that he emphasized preparation and being mentally ready and doing the things a high percentage of just really, what should I call it, just the mental aspect of the game. And that's where I really learned the game from under Paul Brown, as it relates to pro football. But the other thing that he taught was how you have to go about showing people that you were going to be a stand-up person. You know, I mean, back in those days, there weren't any black coaches in the National Football League. There weren't any black front office executives. So all of this became very obvious to us as we grew and moved from rookies in 59 to into the 60s. And, of course, you're not old enough to know the turmoil that was going on in this country racially in the 60s. But we were right in the thick of that. You know, we weren't marching in the streets, but we were working. The Black Economic Union, which Jim started up in 1962, had to do with us as athletes participating in the, quote, civil rights movement from an economic point of view. You know, not so much we wanted to push establishing your own businesses, building your own economics in your community where you live, produce, achieve, prosper, working together. These are all the things that came out of that. So, we're very proud of that background, really.
Obviously, it was a steadfast background to propel you because when you, of course, played with the Browns between 59 and 67, two-time Pro Bowler, member of the 1964 championship team, and then when you thought you were just going to hang up and leave, you got that big call from Tex Schramm, general manager of the Cowboys, and he said, we need you to come work for us. How did that feel? Because that had to be a major thing to happen, particularly even at that time of the year. Because diversity really wasn't something that was on everybody's buzzwords. I mean, it was something that was far beyond that. How did that make you feel?
Well, what we're seeing, and you're absolutely right on it, is that this area of time gave you the opportunity to reflect on where you wanted to go. And, of course, as I said, we knew what was going on across this country in terms of racial equality. We felt that we should be a part of it to do the things that we were going to do. We weren't going to go sit in because we're not passive. We're not going to let people pour syrup on our head or kick us or drag us and not fight back. And that would hurt the movement, as Dr. King, what he was trying to do. But we did support him, and we felt that there was another way for us to go. And that other way is to have our own mechanism, and that was how the Black Economic Union came about. That is where we are today with the Fritz Fowler Alliance. Jim and I talk often about the fact that all of this is the same. We're fighting for a better way of life for minority people who we know have the ability and just need the opportunity. Wherever, throughout this country, throughout whatever it is, when minority people have been given the opportunity, they have excelled, no matter what it is, sports, entertainment, business, and, of course, the height of it all politically with President Obama being elected president in 2008. All of this is what we've always believed in. Give us the opportunity to show what we can do. You know, we've gone to the schools, we've trained, we've prepared. We are ready to go, and I think this is why the excitement you probably hear in my voice is the fact that when we sit down with the league people back on December 16th, we felt there were going to be five or six openings, and we felt that we had the people to put in those openings to get those jobs. And that's what our guys did. To come out of three out of five of those jobs, you know, we're just excited about it. We feel that it's a movement. It gives us now eight head coaches, which is the most we've ever had in any one particular season. But we're not stopping and saying, well, you know, people say, well, the Rooney Rule should. We're not saying the Rooney Rule has to stay on effect. We just want the system that gives everybody, black and white, the opportunity to fight or to apply or to, for these jobs. And we want it not just in football or sports. We want it in every walk of life. And that's, you know, that I think, as old folks say, a rising tide lifts all ships. I think the NFL is a better place today than it was back when I was playing because of the fact of what has taken place.
Well, you know, I want to thank you for that because I hear it in your voice. I hear the excitement in your voice. And when I interviewed you last year, I know you had a lot of promise in your voice of what you were looking forward to for the new year and to also see that even in the playoffs, that we're constantly seeing these coaches appear. And when I go back and I look at some of their records, some of them are coming with over 24 years of experience in coaching. Oh, yeah. Not only did they hone their skills in the high school and the college level, they've been behind the scenes in the NFL for a long, long time. So I imagine that on paper, that comes across very clearly. But again, being the devil's advocate, you know, anything that sounds good is always going to be challenged. And I've seen controversy on whether or not this rule is working in favor of all people in the NFL. And I want you to come back to me and just tell me, how does this differ from how other coaches are actually recognized? We'll be back in three. This is Ida Moye, and you're listening to the Sports Maverick Show.
The fans now have a voice to speak their mind. No holds barred.
They need to bench his ass and then move on.
I just think that the coach made a mistake.
All crazy.
NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL. Speak up.
Speak up.
Or forever hold your mouth.
We ain't playing around here.
Voice America Sports.
In a landscape dominated by male talk show hosts, the Sports Maverick Show with host Ida Moye, a.k.a. the Oprah of sports, has consistently offered a new dimension to sports since the year 2000. Ida's new five-part CD series entitled Survival Guide for Student Athletes from High School, College to the Pros is a must-have for every parent with an elite athlete. The Sports Maverick Show is where the best gets better on and off the field. Order your survival guide today. Log on to www.pro-readycoach.com. That's PROREADYCOACH.com. Pro-readycoach.com.
Have you friended us on Facebook yet?
Why not?
Just go to Facebook.com/Voice America or search for the keywords Voice America. Once you are part of our Facebook network, you'll receive daily messages about what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and new happenings at the Voice America Talk Radio Network. And you can add your voice to the always active discussions on our wall. Just go to Facebook.com/Voice America or search for Voice America.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. That goes O'Neal. He's at the
shot. Got it with 2.8 seconds left.
To left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
You are listening to the Sports Maverick Show with Ida Moyer. If you would like to join the conversation today, please call now. The number is 1-866-472-5787. That's 1-866-472-5787. Now, back to the Sports Mavericks.
Welcome back to the Sports Maverick Show. We are in our third segment here, and we have in our studio John Wooten. He is the chairman of the Fritz Pauler Alliance Foundation, which is actually the keeper of the Rooney Rule. And a lot of people, if you've been listening, we are giving you kind of the background of how this rule came into being. But also, we're letting you hear firsthand the segment of how it's actually being enforced. But to the people that have controversy surrounding this rule, I want to bring John Wooten back and ask a very important question. John, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you.
John, let's talk about the ethics of that rule. Some people question the ethics of it, and a lot of times when we have the affirmative action issue out there, people will say that it's reverse discrimination against white coaches, but or any other type of coach. But again, show me where ethically that's not the case at all.
Well, it's not the case at all. I've heard that reverse discrimination. How can it be reverse discrimination when you're saying that the only thing that it truly requires is that if and when there's an opening at the head coach or the football operations executive position, which is generally the general manager, that they have to interview a minority for the position. So consequently, it can't be reverse discrimination because it's not saying that you are not to you're only to interview minorities. You're not going to interview anyone else. So that throws that out. The second side of it ethically speaks to the point that at a time when we in America feel very strongly that we should have equal opportunity for everyone. The majority of people in this country really truly believes that. So consequently, we are a country of rules and laws. And so consequently, by having this particular rule on the book as it relates to the NFL, it just speaks strongly to all of us believing what we all believe in, and that is that the best person for the job should get the job. So therefore, in order to make that happen, you have to interview people for the job. You can't have it any other way. You can't say you hired the best guy if you didn't go out and truly search to find a, quote, diverse slate or diversified field that you're trying to work in. So consequently, we are a diversified country. We're a country of all colors and cultures and everything else that, you know, we all believe in and so forth. So consequently, by doing it this way, it just makes it right. And that's what we've seen here this past hiring cycle in the NFL. You know, I mean, we've seen it that we've had the opportunity, as I said to you earlier, we have excelled in every walk of life. And that's what we believe in, being prepared, being the best we can be, as Dr. King say, and go from there. So that's what we're doing.
Let's talk about the economics of these decisions, because a lot of times when the owners are questioning this, they have to look at the economics. I look at Lovie Smith, 27 years coaching experience. He has been in the playoffs and been to a Super Bowl. I mean, he's consistently been a winner of turning Chicago around and turning it back to the great team that it's always been in the past. Look at Mike Tomlin at the Steelers. He's got basically here a Super Bowl ring and possibly approaching another possible Super Bowl ring. You've got Marvin Lewis have consistently had good winners there. You've got Raheem Morris that clearly has turned Tampa around. And then Jim Caldwell, who's continuing with the tradition of Tony Dungy. And then you look at Hugh Jackson, who clearly is offensive coordinator, made the Raiders become noticed again after the few years that they've had problems. And, of course, you know, Leslie Frazier over there at the Vikings. And now you have new faces that are coming in, you know, with the Panthers. Tell me about how much has this, you know, impacted economically to the NFL? Because clearly these owners have reaped the benefits of diversity, seeing that, you know, you're getting diversity, and the diversity is good for everyone, but you're also getting real winners here, too, as well.
Well, that goes all the way back to the original study that was done by Jane Madden there at the University of Pennsylvania, which showed clearly that the minority coaches, long before, I think back then, maybe we only had one or two, Art Shell had been through and then Tony Dungy, but it showed very clearly that minority coaches, whenever they've been given an opportunity, they had excelled. Now, the impact, the NFL is one of the richest economically corporations in this country, and it certainly is the top leader in sports. I mean, just looking at what the Super Bowl is generating here in Dallas and what it generates all over the country, I mean, what you see on Sundays and Mondays and Thursday after midseason, you see people graduate, you know, they just gravitating to the NFL. You know, the whenever they're showing games, they have the highest rating opposite whoever they're opposite. They just killed them. So the whole thing that you're dealing with that is people are going more and more and more toward football. Now, why do people like football? Number one, they like the excitement of it, you know, the physical contact and all that. But the reason why the NFL has grown so strongly with corporate America is because it's a team game. The football is the only real team game that there is in sports. You know, I mean, all hockey and baseball and basketball, yeah, those are team sports, soccer and all. But the individual is so, you know, you have the chance to be the end. If you can't hit, catch, or run in baseball or shoot the jumper or dunk it or all that, you're not going to excel as a team, you know. But in football, it's everybody working together. The offensive line has to block so the runners can run and pass protect so that the quarterback can throw the ball and the receivers have to make their routes and so forth. So that's the whole team out of the whole team concept that all of us believe in. All of us believe in working together to make our homes, our community, our city, our state, and our nation better. That's the whole concept of working together, which you see when you watch football.
So what you're saying is that because it's such a visible sport and it's obviously such a popular sport, that sometimes much is given, much is expected, and therefore this almost adversity is almost an accountability for the fans, it's accountability to the players, it's accountability to the employees as well, that to bring diversity to the organization makes it a better organization. Now, back in 2004, NFL received a hiring grade, of course, of around about a D minus. Then in 2009, they receive an A in racial hiring, but a C in gender hiring. And of course, that's up from a D plus in 2004. So I want to talk to you a little bit about the impact of what's happening at the coach level that is also spilling over to the general manager's level and also into some of the higher levels of executive positions in NFL, and very well maybe spilling over into the NCAA. I want to talk a little bit about that to you because you must see a movement here, clearly a movement.
Well, it's true, and you touched on gender. That was one of the things we talked about there in our meeting on December 16th. We talked about gender to the point that when you look around the league, and I don't know how close you look, but you have Amy Trash out at the Raiders. You have Katie Brown over at Cincinnati. There are women moving, and I am just thrilled over the fact that the NFL this past summer hired a young black woman out of University of Mass in the personnel, in the player personnel department, not to do administrative work, but to work the personnel. And her name is Danielle Lee. She is sharp, went to the University of Mass. Her dad is a former player in the NFL, Larry Lee, and executive with Detroit. So she is just outstanding. So we are moving. And that was one of the things that we touched on so strongly. We recognize the fact that there should be, and it has to be, openings for in the marketing. Pittsburgh has a trainer, a full athletic trainer, Steelers I'm talking about, on their staff. I don't know how close you watch football, but if you see when a player is injured, you'll see a young lady out there administering care and so forth. So it is moving, and that's one of the things we want to touch on. There's so many other jobs other than playing football, other than coaching football, that is in the NFL. You have to have lawyers. You have to have accountants. You have to have marketing people. You know, so we're not just talking about coaching and so forth. We're talking about all the way down through PR to people, Chad Steele, David Lockett. These are directors of public relations. Tony Wiley, senior vice president. I'll call him Double R so much until I almost forgot his name. Reggie Roberts at Atlanta. There are guys and people all over this league, minorities, that are living, working, doing one fantastic job in the National Football League. Not just the players, coaches, and general managers, but all throughout the line. So this, with the technology and the videotapes and all that's going on, there's an outstanding area to get into in terms of, the technology that's going on now. So what we want our young people to do and understand is you don't have to be a football player to be in the National Football League. There are training programs. We have the Bill Walsh internship that's for minorities. Every summer, to go to different camps and work in different capacities to learn, to train, if you're interested in being in the NFL. We have young lawyers that have come out of law school that have become a part of the NFL and the management council. all of these things are going on when we talk about the NFL. And it's a great golden goose, you know, that has plenty of eggs for everybody. You know, you're talking economics. To go on a strike, lockout, or whatever you want to call it, doesn't even make sense.
Well, again, that's the next thing I want to talk to you about. That we're going to go to a break. We'll be back in three. You're listening to the Sports Maverick Show. We're talking to John Wooten. He is the keeper of the Rooney Rule, and we're talking about the progress since that rule has been implemented in the NFL. We've seen some great hires and coaches, as well as front office, and there is some movement on the gender side. We'll be back in three. We'll talk more with John Wooten, our guest.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neal. He's at
the shot.
Got it with 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
In a landscape dominated by male talk show hosts, the Sports Maverick Show with host Ida Moyet, a.k.a. the Oprah of sports, has consistently offered a new dimension to sports since the year 2000. Ida's new five-part CD series entitled Survival Guide for Student Athletes from High School, College to the Pros is a must-have for every parent with an elite athlete. The Sports Maverick Show is where the best gets better on and off the field. Order your survival guide today. Log on to www.pro-readycoach.com. That's PROREADYCOACH.com. Pro-readycoach.com.
Have you friended us on Facebook yet?
Why not?
Just go to Facebook.com/Voice America or search for the keywords Voice America. Once you are part of our Facebook network, you'll receive daily messages about what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and new happenings at the Voice America Talk Radio Network. And you can add your voice to the always active discussions on our wall. Just go to Facebook.com/Voice America or search for Voice America.
The fans now have a voice to speak their mind. No holds barred.
I just think that the coach made a mistake.
All crazy.
NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL. Speak up.
Speak up.
Or forever hold your mouth.
We ain't playing around here.
Voice America Sports.
You are listening to the Sports Maverick Show with Ida Moyet. If you would like to join the conversation today, please call now. The number is 1-866-472-5787. That's 1-866-472-5787. Now, back to the Sports Mavericks.
Welcome back to the Sports Maverick Show. We're coming to the last part of our hour here, and if you have just begun to join us here, we're talking to John Wooten. He's the chairman of the Fritz Pollard Alliance Foundation, and of course, Fritz Pollard was the first Afro-American coach in the NFL, and quite a stellar and success story there. But in his commemoration, the organization has been started, and it has started basically a great movement of diversity throughout the NFL. We're seeing it in the front office, coach positions, as well as women and men both taking similar positions. So there's a great movement here. We've got John Wooten here. He's the present chairman, and we're talking about diversity going into 2011. Welcome back to the show, John.
Thank you.
Well, John, we talked about diversity at the gender level. We talked about it at the head office as well as the coaching side there. Let's talk a little bit of what you're seeing at the NCAA level, even though you absolutely have no control of what's happening there, but they have to be looking at the great success that you're having at the NFL level and starting to see that diversity can also be good on the college campus as well. Tell me what you're seeing out there in the NCAA level.
Well, we've been very, very pleased in the last two hiring cycles. There were seven minority coaches hired a year ago, and up to this, they may have seven or eight. I don't have the count in front of me, of minorities in the hiring cycle here so far this year. The big hires, of course, was the Mike Haywood hiring up at Pitt, which the problems came about, and they fired him before, in the 2 weeks after they hired him. But then Dave Shaw out at Stanford, but over at Kent State, over at Toledo, there are minorities being hired all over the place. And, of course, when we look at it, just talking about some of the minorities that were hired last year, Charlie Strong at Louisville goes to a bowl game. Joker Phillips at Kentucky goes to a bowl game. Rufus McNeil at East Carolina goes to a bowl game. It's just so many different things that are going on, and we're just very pleased with what the NC2A is doing. There's a strong commitment from the athletic directors of the NC2A saying that they don't call it the Rooney Rule, and we're fine with that. We don't have any special names, anything has to be called. We're just saying all we want is the commitment that when and if there are openings, there will be a diverse slate of candidates. And that's the way we run that down. But we're very pleased with it.
Is there any time that, people from the NCAA have sought any counsel from you just to understand exactly the process and everything that you've gone through over the years to have such success, to see if, in fact, that integration could take place in the NCAA, or quiet counsel from you?
Well, what has happened is that before Miles Brand died, we had a meeting there with the executive committee of the athletic directors at the office there in Indianapolis. And this is when and where the commitment was made. We presented to them what we thought was the idea of how this should go about. And they, in turn, said that this was something that they could live with. And they've done it. They've done it. They've done an excellent job in the last 2 years during the hiring cycle. They've done an excellent job of interviewing and hiring, minorities. If you look at it, before 2 years ago, you had about 7 or 8 minority head coaches. I would gather today that you have about 20 without looking at
the statistics itself. Well, it's clear to me, John, that this, meeting that you and Johnny Cochran and Calvin Winslow and the various different parties that met, to discuss this issue, that it was more than just a meeting. It was actually a movement, and a movement that is just spreading across the country, and it's good for sports. And I'm sure if we're seeing it in the actual football, we probably will even see a spin-off to other areas as well, and different sport areas will be having had a lot of minority participation. But I think that it's just a credit to you and your team and your dedication to bring forth every single year a slate of great candidates. And I'm sure that's not done in a vacuum. So give kudos to some of those wonderful assistants and, lieutenants you have behind you that are actually making all this happen.
Well, we have we smile and laugh and kid ourselves because we, as Churchill probably said, never has so much been done with so few. We have a very small staff, and the reason why our staff is small is that there's nobody that receives any salaries. We all do it pro bono, and we do it because we think this is the way of our giving back. But, Cyrus Mary, who was with Johnny Cochran, who wrote through that, had this study done there at the University of Penn. and you know, the whole thing of it all is that by doing it that way, we're able to really move forward and get some things done. Craig Richardson, Jeremy DeRue, who has written a book called Advancing the Ball, which by the Oxford Press, which really gives you a total insight of how all of this came down.
We're going to have people get that book. And, John, we're at the end of our broadcast here, and I know we can go on and on and on, so I don't want you to be a stranger to Sports Maverick. We love speaking with you, and we're looking forward to being down there in Dallas with you when, of course, the Alliance will be celebrating the diversity in the NFL during the Super Bowl week. And, again, I want to thank you for being with me tonight. This has just been fabulous. And as always, you bring interesting stories and bring a lot of hope and encouragement. And, again, I want to thank you for being with us. And, again, welcome back to the show, and always feel like it's your second home. We love having you here, okay?
Thank you much.
Thank you, John, and thank you again. Ready? Well, folks, it's time to say goodbye. We'll see you next week. This is the Sports Maverick Show. Ida Moye signing off.
Joining Ida Moye and the Sports Maverick Show, we hope you enjoyed today's conversation. If you have a question or a story you'd like to share with Ida, you can email her at sportsmavericks@yahoo.com. sportsmavericks@yahoo.com. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.